Good morning and welcome to Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church with Senior Pastor Danny Binney. We're excited that you're joining us this morning, and we would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. To find out our service times, you can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. What an honor to be here back at Old River. I want to tell you, last fall when I was here, I got a warm, warm Texas welcome, and I never forgot it, and been looking forward to this for a long time. I want to say a big thank you to Cody Lane and all the staff for allowing my colleague Jason Jimenez to come with me. We've been a part of a thing called the D-Now Weekend, Disciple Now Weekend. Now, you'll see the slide up there. It says Stand Strong Tour. Jason and I travel the country, and we talk to teenagers about Jesus. And Jason is right here. Stand up, if you would, brother. Welcome, Jason Jimenez. Now, he's going to be speaking to the youth, but I wish you could have been here last night. Now, Friday night, all day Saturday, we shared the gospel, how to be saved. We talked about how to defend your faith. A big part of what Jason and I do, as we talk to teenagers, we talk about defending the faith because, you know, they're going to go away to college. They're going to be confronted with all kinds of beliefs. Last night, after great music from the band, and then we shared the gospel, folks, we had an altar call like you wouldn't believe. I give God the glory. And I had directed the youth who came forward to go with the adults to the choir room. After the altar call, for the next hour plus, the whole back of the building was a prayer meeting. And I mean, we've done our share of youth events, and it's always great when 75 or 100 kids come forward to pray. But for the next hour, I was walking back there, and these adult leaders that gave their weekend, and by the way, there were a lot of host homes, moms and dads that had 5th, 6th, 7th graders in their house. Listen, you got to love Jesus to have a dozen 7th grade boys with you for the weekend. But I heard young people back there weeping in prayer, rejoicing in Jesus. I'm telling you, the Spirit of the Lord was here last night. And if you missed out, next time it comes around, if you've got young people, please pray, promote, plan to send your kids to the D-Now weekend because God's really been at work and we give him the glory for the kids who trusted Christ. Friday night, we were out at the book table and Jason and I do have some books. And everything you're going to hear this morning comes out of those books. But a young man came up to me. Many, many of the kids did. But this one young man came up and he said, Mr. McFarland, he said, I've been going to church a long time. And he said, I go because I'm told to go. But I want you to know, tonight I got it. I said, what did you get? He said, tonight I got Jesus. That's why we do what we do. To God be the glory. Let's do the next slide. Jason and I do a television show. Skip that if you would. You can skip that. Okay. We do a television show called Viral Truth. And if you've got Dish Network, DirecTV, we're on Wednesday nights. Keep us in prayer. We just started last fall. God is really blessing. We're hearing correspondence from people all around North America, the USA and Canada. And what I want to talk about this morning relates to what Jason and I preach on the road. We broadcast on our television show. Look, we got one string on our banjo, and that is the gospel for America. We believe passionately, and the Word of God, I think, points us this way, that there is one hope and one hope only for the human race, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, I want to talk, I realize that I'm largely talking to believers. I want to talk about what I call the pathway to personal revival, which is an honest look at sin. If you've got your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 4, Genesis 4, verse 7, and we're going to look at sin. And while you turn there, you'll see some headlines that talk about the fact that we need a great revival. America is losing Christianity. And look at that. It says, we're losing our religion. And there's a headline under there. It says, born-again Christians are often ignorant about their faith. And I got to ask ourselves as a church, look, you and I have witnessed a lot of things that frankly are ungodly, immoral, but I would submit threaten the very future of our country. We've seen the breakdown of the family. We've seen an explosion in the illegitimacy rate and people living together and no longer even believing that marriage matters. Jason and I are writing a book right now for Focus on the Family out in Colorado, and we're doing a lot of research about 20-somethings and younger. And a majority of young people, some want marriage and a home and a family, but many really see marriage as irrelevant anymore. And do you know, we've watched the rise of Islam, and even since I was with you 2.5 months ago, we've seen numerous terrorist attacks. And all around the world, we're seeing the rise of violence. And there are groups and individuals that hate America and hate the gospel and not only want to see the gospel obstructed, but even Christianity silenced completely. There's a group in New Jersey called CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. And I was on a 4-hour plane ride from Charlotte to Los Angeles with the president of CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. They're basically a propaganda arm for Islam in America. Well, this week, the United Arab Emirates has named CARE a terrorist group because they're basically apologists for Islam, and yet our government counsels with them. Anytime there's some terrorist attack, the media will put CARE on television, and they'll say, well, you know, it's not really Islam. 2 weeks ago in Pittsburgh, a man walks up to a police car, sticks a gun in the window, and shoots 3 bullets into a Pittsburgh policeman. Do you remember that? And he said, I'm doing this for ISIS and Islam. And the Pittsburgh law enforcement comes on TV and says, you know, we really don't know the motive behind this crime. The guy told you. Friends, we need a revival. We need a revival. Now go to Genesis 4:7, that scripture up there, and I want us to talk about what we as a church can do for a culture that's lost its way. Genesis 4:7, God is talking to Cain, and he says that sin is lurking at the door. If you do righteously, won't you be accepted? If you do unrighteously, you'll be rejected. Sin is lurking at the door, but you must not let it have the mastery over you. Now, let me just explain the gospel for a moment. Keep your Bibles open if you would. We are not saved by works. People ask me when Jason and I do events, they'll say, how did the Old Testament people get saved? By works? No, by faith. Read Habakkuk chapter 2. We're justified by faith. And this is the beauty of the gospel. In faith, they looked to the Savior that would come. In faith, we look back at the Savior that did come. Same Savior, we're just on two different sides of the cross. Romans 4 says, Abraham put his faith in God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. So salvation is by faith. What God was telling Cain back in Genesis 4, look, if you believe and trust, you will be in a state of righteousness. If you do righteously, you'll be accepted. If you live and die in a state of unrighteousness, you'll be rejected. Now, this is coming down through the corridors of time for us today. It says, sin is lurking at the door, but you must not let it have mastery over you. Now, church, and I know most, maybe everyone in this room this morning already has a relationship with Jesus. I hope you do. If there's never been a time and a place when you personally trusted Christ, then we beg that today would be that day. But let me say, even as a Christian, your sins are under the blood, your name is in the book, you're born again, sin still is going to be nipping at your heels. Sin still is going to be trying to turn your heart cold and your priorities to things other than living for Jesus and serving Him. So I want us to talk a little bit about sin this morning. And what is sin? Let's talk about the nature of sin. Point number one, what is sin? Now, our culture doesn't treat sin very seriously anymore. Point number one is the nature of sin. There was a country song a few years ago said, heaven's just a sin away. Isn't that something? See if we can find that slide if you want to, Fred. Heaven's just a sin away. There was a mini-series about sins, and sin has become a joke now. You know, in Hollywood, boy, they have fought traditional values, haven't they? They've mocked those that stand up for marriage and morality. You know, I tell people whenever somebody will call into the radio and they'll say, well, you know, George Clooney and Rosie O'Donnell and all these, Alec Baldwin and different ones in Hollywood, they say that, you know, traditional values are out of date or whatever. I said, now remember, all these Hollywood actors and actresses that mock the Word of God, you got to remember those are people who pretend for a living, okay? All right, the nature of sin is this. The Bible says that sin brings death. Sin brings death. C.S. Lewis said that sin is treason against the Most High God. Isn't that something? C.S. Lewis once said that man is not a slightly imperfect creature who needs a little bit of improvement. Man is a rebel who must lay down his arms. All right, I want to give you a thought that you might not think about too much about sin. But sin, among other things, it's disobedience to the Lord. Sin is missing the mark. Sin is knowing the right but doing the wrong. But Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. We know sin separates us from God. But God is eternal. God is life. God is the foundation of reality, the Creator, our Savior. And remember in Exodus 3:14 when the voice out of the burning bush told Moses, I am that I am. God was saying, look, it is my nature to exist. Among other things, put on your philosophical thinking cap for a moment. Sin is that which tends toward non-existence. Every now and then I'll be at a college and I'll meet some youth that's dabbled in Satanism or something. And they'll say, well, you know, one day evil will rule the universe. No, it won't. See, sin is like rust on metal. Sin is a parasite that has to have a host. Total evil would be nothingness because sin is non-being, non-existence. And friend, even as a Christian, even as a born-again believer, you should want daily to turn from sin, repent from disobedience, ask the Spirit of God to wake up your cold, lethargic heart. Every day we must vigilantly stand against sin, keep our eyes on Jesus, keep our heart attuned to His Word and His Spirit, because sin will draw you away. Sin will cool you off. Sin will make your priorities ungodly. And we've got to, even as a born-again Christian, vigilantly understand the nature of sin. It's death, it's nothingness, it's powerlessness. Now, I want to ask you this, and let's talk about the effects of sin. Point number two, the effects of sin. How can it be? And look, I hate to be doom and gloom, and I don't want to bum you out, but look, we're evangelists. We're in dozens of churches a year, and in the last 20 years, I've been in 1,500 churches. But look, with the rise of Islam, with a presidential election on the horizon, with the very future of our country being shaped, with young people that really aren't walking with Jesus like maybe our generation did, and with churches closing, goodness gracious, friend, where is the prayer? Where is the intercession? Do you know right now, one of the most intensely Islamic areas in the world outside of the Middle East is in Detroit, Michigan. And I got to tell you, there are lobbying groups, CARE and others, that are saying, we got to have Sharia law because if a Muslim gets accused of a crime, they don't want to be tried under American law because, you know, they're Muslims. So they want Sharia courts here in America. Excuse me while I have a heart attack, okay? That threatens our very Constitution. We can't have a nation within a nation. Now, a lot of young people at this point will say to me, so big deal. You know, America, my home's in heaven. Let America fall. Look, it's a huge deal because America has been mighty in the spreading of the gospel. And the effects of sin include apathy, backsliddenness, disengagement. Friend, where is the prayer? Where is the intercession for a nation that right now is sin sick? We live in the midst of a church that is sin sick. Studies show that the average pastor prays 3 to 5 minutes a day. That won't cut it. Most Christians have filth on their computers. Marriages are breaking up. We're not broken over unsaved people dying and going to hell. We're not shedding tears that a generation of young people raised in church, 70% go away to college and have some type of a faith crisis. Do you know, doing research on a book right now, just hang with me, Bernie Sanders, who might be the Democrat candidate for president, he will happily tell you he's a socialist. 30% of teenagers say that doesn't matter. We not only have lost God, but we've really forgotten what America is all about. We are like Israel in Judges 5, verse 8, when it says, they chose new gods. There was chaos within the gates. Friend, I want to tell you, let's just cut to the bottom line. America has a sin problem, and we must turn to Jesus for the solving of that problem. Point three is this, the origin of sin. Sometimes people say this, they'll ask the question, well, what is the origin of sin? God had to create sin because good and evil are like these dance partners. False. God is not the origin of sin. God did not create sin. If you look at Genesis, he created and he said, it's good, it's good, it's good. What sin comes from is free will used in disobedience to God. Two classes of creatures that had moral will, angels and humans. Now, you know what happened to the angels. Lucifer and one-third of the angels fell. They tried to overthrow heaven. They were kicked out. He became Satan, and all those fallen angels are demons. They're working in the world right now. My friend, I want to tell you, if you think it's urgent that we come to Jesus, I agree. Because listen, if we could see the invisible battle raging right now, there are demons trying to tempt people away from God. I think if we only knew the battle going on, and I honestly believe there is a battle going for the future of America because of our Christian DNA, because of the 500,000 churches that have preached the gospel, because for 200 years, 80 cents out of every missionary dollar came from America. I think there's a battle going on in the spiritual realm. Satan and his demons that fell, they couldn't kill God, but they've certainly tried to harm the ones made in God's image. Now listen to this. The origin of sin is that Adam and Eve knew the right, but they did the wrong. And us, we need a Savior because look, we're sinners by birth, we're sinners by choice. I don't know if you inherited a big family fortune, but I'll tell you what, you did inherit a sin nature. The minute you were born, the day you hit town, you had a sin nature. I have a sin nature. And we have this sinful disposition, but then we grow up and we do sinful things. We need a Savior because we've used our free will to disobey God. That is the origin of sin. Let me give you a quote here. Let's hit the next slide if we would. There was a great Christian leader named Saint Basil, and he said this, it is impious to say that evil had its origin from God. Life does not generate death, nor is darkness the beginning of light, nor is disease the maker of health. I'll say it this way. God didn't create sin. I suppose you could say he created the possibility of sin by giving us free will. But he also created the possibility for a relationship. See, God did not make puppets or robots. God gives us a free choice. This morning, I want to say to everyone here, you have the ability to put your faith in Christ. And God will offer you salvation, but he won't force it. God will call, he'll beckon, he'll make overtures. Maybe even here this morning, God is calling you. And you know there's some things you need to talk to the Lord about. We're going to invite you in just a moment to come to this altar and make a public stand for Jesus, to publicly pray for this country, maybe to repent and turn away from sin. You say, why do I have to go forward? You know, Jesus said, if you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before the Father. You say, well, you know what? To go down front and publicly pray at an altar, that's not something I really find easy to do. I don't think it was easy to get nailed to a cross either. And I want to challenge all of us. Look, you're in a room full of people that love you. And if you can't take a bold stand for the Lord in a room full of loved ones, you're probably not going to be very bold out there in that dog-eat-dog world. We need to shake off the apathy, shake off the timidity, shake off the silence, and we need to proudly stand for Jesus and to say, look, Satan and sin will not destroy my life and unravel my future. I'm coming to Jesus. I'm standing for Jesus. He's not the author of sin. He's the author of life, and I'm going to follow him fully. Point number four is the seriousness of sin. Friends, sin is serious. Now, we don't like to think about it, and we kind of put it out of our mind, but sin was serious enough that God left heaven, came to earth, was nailed to a cross to be the solution for sin. And even in our life, as a Christian, we can often minimize sin. And we're okay with a little bit of this part of our life that we still have hold of. John Piper, a great preacher up in Minnesota, he said, too many of us are in the business of sin management rather than repentance. Think about that. God didn't buy his church with his own blood so that we could live our lives in a state of sin management. God calls us to repentance. This morning, what is God calling you to turn from and repent of? You might have anger against something that happened years ago. Maybe you're not obeying God in your giving, how you handle your money, how you handle your time. Friend, we got to remember that we don't own anything. Jesus owns us. Jesus is the owner, the master, the Lord. We are the stewards. And friend, if it sounds like I'm putting a pretty heavy burden out there, it's only because the future of the country hangs in the balance. It's only because souls are heading toward eternity. They might be saved, they might be lost. It's only because every one of us one day will stand before Jesus. And friend, today you have a chance to do something you'll be glad you did when you stand before the Lord. Now think about it. Think about the day that you have to go to the doctor and you're glad if you obeyed your diet and your cholesterol numbers are better. Think about the day you're in a school classroom for a final exam and you were really glad you studied because you wanted to pass the course. Friend, I want you right now, as I close, think about the day that you'll stand before Christ, the Lord of the universe, the God who came to earth and went to a cross for all of us. We're going to see him eyeball to eyeball. And it'll either be a state of joy or a state of sadness. Today, sin is serious. And we've got to deal with it. Not only because of the deadness of the American church and our urgent, imperative, critical need for revival. The very future of America or not depends on whether the church takes sin seriously or not. I want to submit to you, if you care about this nation, if you want to see America preserved, then we first better take sin seriously. It's not primarily about Washington. It's not about the media. It's not about the secular world. The reason America stands ready to die is because the Church of Jesus Christ has not taken sin seriously. And I want us to think about what we're going to do the day we stand before Jesus, and today we can get ready. One last thought. Let's talk about the remedy of sin. The remedy of sin, oh, it's precious. It's lovely. It's beautiful. Jesus says, come, let us reason. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Jesus says in John 6:37, the one who comes to me, I will not reject. Jesus tells us in John 6:40, if you believe on me, you will have everlasting life, and I will raise you up at the last day. The Word of God says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friend, this morning, I want to tell you, whatever you've done, Christ says, I'll forgive you. Whatever's been done to you, Jesus says, I can fix you. I'll heal you. You know, I'm a farm boy. We grew corn, and I know what it is to stare at 30 acres of corn that a pack of deer has been in. You know, it's a little depressing. But Joel 2:25, God says, I restore the years the locust has eaten. Listen, maybe you're here this morning, and you say, I would really love a do-over at life. I wish I could rewind the tape and get a blank slate. This morning, whatever has happened, some of us got more baggage than Samsonite. And Jesus says, I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to restore you. Today is a brand new start. This morning, would you like today to be a brand new start? It can be. Hey, go to the slide, Fred, of Christ on the cross. Very famous artist, Gustave Doré, D-O-R-E. He was a French artist, and he was called the preaching painter. Hundreds of paintings and woodcuts and line drawings of Jesus. Somebody said to him once, you draw Christ so much, you must love Jesus. And Gustave Doré said, I do love him, but I wished I loved him better, because if I loved him better, maybe I would paint him better, because I'm trying to make a representative of Christ. Do you know, I wish we loved him better, because maybe we would portray him better. Maybe to a watching, unsaved world, like Gustave Doré, maybe we would love him more deeply. That way we could show him more clearly. And what obstructs that? Sin and our unwillingness to deal with it. Let's pray together, shall we? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Friend, we need a revival. And I want to ask you three brief questions this morning. Number one, do you know the Lord? Was there a time and a place that you said, Jesus, save me? I was 21 years old. I was a church member for nearly 10 years before I got saved. This morning, if you're here and you don't know that you're a Christian, then in just a moment, I want you to come. And we ask you to come and let us, with an open Bible, with God's Word, we will show you how you can know that you know that you know that you're bound for heaven, born again. And if you need to be saved, we ask you to come. Number two, maybe you are a believer, you're a Christian, and you know the Lord. Then we're asking you to come to this altar, bow your knee, and begin to pray for a revival. Begin to say, Jesus, I repent, and as a Christian, I want a fresh start in my heart. And so as a believer, and let me just say this, maybe you've not been to an altar in years. That's just not your thing. Today, come down here and say, Jesus, jumpstart the batteries of my heart. Maybe you're a senior and you've been a believer before many of us were even born. God bless you for walking the path and being the example. Come down here and let's, as a body, begin to intercede and do some battle on our knees for America. Thirdly, maybe God is calling you to join Old River Baptist Church. Part of being a disciple is to be a part of a church, and God is calling you to join. So I'm going to pray, we're going to stand, and then we're going to respond, and we're going to take sin so seriously that we will run from it and to Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, help men and women, boys and girls, young people, seniors, all of us, Lord, help us to do what we'll be glad we did on the day that we stand before you. Bring us to a point of decision. Father, I pray you would save the one who is nearest hell. Lord, call Christians to revival. And Father, may the Spirit of God ignite an awakening that would emanate from here and touch our nation. Father, your will be done. Cleanse us, fill us, use us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us for Sharpening Our Souls, ministry of Old River Baptist Church. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week for another edition of Sharpening Our Souls.